again. Welcome back to Diamond Dingers, a baseball podcast. In this episode, the final NL preview, we're going over the NL West, which concludes all of our preview episodes. And on the next episode of Diamond Dingers, we're going to look at opening series for the first weekend of baseball. And we're going to talk about what we thought of the WBC. Thank you guys for listening to all the preview episodes. We'll catch you next time. Enjoy.
Let's take us on over to the NL West, starting out with the Arizona Diamondbacks. This offseason, they picked up Kyle Lewis, Lourdes Gurriel, Gabriel Moreno, Diego Castillo, Miguel Castro, Evan Longoria, Andrew Chafin. They lost Dalton Varsho to the Toronto Blue Jays and Cooper Hummel. They added a lot more than they lost this year. And again, you're coming from a Diamondbacks team that wasn't much last year. They ended up at 74-88. So a little bit below 500. Are these enough of a move to put them above 500? I'm not sure, but I do like the moves that they made. I'm looking at Kyle Lewis to kind of have a bounce back year. You know, he's a former rookie of the year. I'm expecting him to have a little bit bounce back and, you know, not a market that's as high as Seattle. I think Arizona is going to be a little bit more friendly to him to give him that opportunity.
Look, I mean, the NL West is my home division, and the Diamondbacks, I think, definitely got better. I mean, they went from a team that they won like, what, 50-ish games in 2021. They won 74 last year. They were much more competitive, and they got better. Corbin Carroll, who's considered maybe the best prospect in baseball, just signed a big extension. Everybody seems to love him. I mean, I don't think I've seen a single person that goes, yeah, Corbin Carroll's going to be a bust. They're expecting him to lead off and be the superstar that they need. Then you go down the lineup, and it's not a bad lineup. It's Ketel Marte, Jake McCarthy, Christian Walker hit bombs last year. Josh Rojas is solid at third. Lourdes Gurriel is DHing at this point. Alec Thomas, Carson Kelly, and Nick Ahmed mostly glove, not a ton of bat. And then the bench, Gabriel Moreno, Evan Longoria, Geraldo Perdomo, and Kyle Lewis. That's a solid lineup.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and Corbin Carroll got paid, you know, for how little time he has in the league. He got paid. I think you're going to be expecting a lot of good things from him. He's fast. To watch him run the bases, it's pretty incredible. I'm looking to see if he puts it together this year when he's projected to have a 245 average, 16 home runs. He's got a lot of talent potential. I mean, he's only 22 years old, man. He's a kid. They're a pretty young team, so I'm interested to see, you know, what they can do in the future. Lourdes Gurriel is a great add, in my opinion. Christian Walker is probably one of the most underrated first basemen in the game. He kind of just flies under the radar, and he's getting close to a contract year. So do we see him potentially not end up at the Arizona if he has a good year this year or next year? I don't know.
We'll see. One thing to note on Corbin Carroll. In the, you know, the handful of games he played, I mean, I think he had like 115 plate appearances last year. He's 100th percentile in speed, so he's one of the fastest players in the league. And the interesting thing about his spray chart is that he hit four homers to all different parts of the field, left, right. So if you got a guy who's a left-handed bat, excuse me, who can go oppo, dude, he could be a special player. And also, speaking of the sprint speed, can you guess what percentile Trey Turner was for sprint speed last year? He's considered one of the fastest in the league.
97.
99. So Corbin Carroll is faster than Trey Turner.
Crazy.
Which is crazy.
He is quick around the bases. Jumping over to the starting rotation and the pitching staff. Zach Gallen is a great pitcher. Nasty. He's projected at a 3.6 ERA, 179 innings this year. I think I'd like to see a little bit more on the innings of him. He is a younger arm. But, you know, behind him, we got Merrill Kelly, Madison Bumgarner, Zach Davies. The fifth starter kind of seems to be undetermined at this point. But in the top two, in Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, I'm expecting big things from them.
You just don't want to say Brandon Pfaadt's name, do you? Because that's who they have listed at the five. I think that's how you say his name is Pfaadt.
He spells it P-F-A-A-D-T.
That's, man, he actually, oh, I did get, because, you know, we've played the Diamondbacks a couple times in spring training. Gotten to see him. He's good, dude. And also with him, he led the minors in strikeouts and innings pitched last year. So that's kind of one of the interesting things about them. They have a lot of guys like Drew Jameson and Ryne Nelson. They got some young guys that are coming up that look pretty good. Zach Davies is a solid pitcher. Bumgarner, they have him almost having a 5 ERA. I think everyone kind of just goes, yeah, he's done. He's not quite what he was, but he's still a competitor. Merrill Kelly did not look good in his home stadium in the WBC a couple nights ago, but, you know, they've got an ace, you know, and that's more than some teams can say. You cannot question the fact that Zach Gallen is an ace. He was incredibly good last year. Their bullpen, though, it's not clear who the closer will be. They got Kevin Ginkle, Andrew Chafin, Miguel Castro. It's the bullpen, I think, is the biggest issue with this team, as it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mantiply, too, he's not projected to really do well, be much of a save. But he was I believe he was an all-star last year. So
he was their only all-star, I believe, yeah.
So he's a good player. We can see him do something out of the back end. He's only been in the service for, you know, in the league for 2 years. So I think we can see Joe Mantiply maybe step up and take a few more saves in the projecting. But yeah, you need someone that steps up and shows that they're going to be the closer. And so we're expecting that to either come from, you know, one of these guys. Andrew Chafin and Miguel Castro have a little more experience, but they haven't been typical closers with their other teams. So I'm looking to see what they do to produce in the back end of the bullpen.
I would agree. Their win over under is 74.5. I don't know what you're thinking, but I know what I'm thinking on this number.
Last year, 74-88, they're projecting to be about the same. And given their additions and some of the young talent that they have that could potentially be called up this year. And I think that's one thing that's kind of interests me is they have quite a few of their top, you know, 30 prospects, top 20 prospects that are sitting at AAA. I'm going to go over on the Diamondbacks here, actually. I think they're a 76 win team.
I was about to say that's what I'm going to do. I think they're 77, 76 win team. Look, this is a tough division with a lot of teams that are really pushing to win now. I think the Diamondbacks' approach to kind of take it slow, let their young guys develop in the lineup, it's smart. They could be really, really interesting in 2024 and beyond. So I think they're going to be pretty good this year. Not like if they get to 500, I'd be a little surprised, but they're going to win some games. They won some games last year, so I'm looking forward to see what they do. Moving on to the Colorado Rockies, their additions this offseason, as of today, signed for 1 year, and I think $7.35 million. Jerkson Profar, add him to left field. They signed Brad Hand. They signed Pierce Johnson. They re-signed Jose Urania. They signed Mike Moustakas to kind of help fill the void left by Brendan Rodgers' injury. They signed Harold Castro. They traded for guys like Nolan Jones and Connor Siebold, and they signed Brent Suter. The subtractions include Sam Hilliard in a trade, Connor Joe in a trade. They lost Jose Iglesias, Scott Oberg, and Carlos Estevez. You know, it's an interesting offseason because they made like a couple decent moves, but this is probably the worst team in the division, at least on paper. And they didn't really do anything. What do you think about their offseason? What do you see going forward for the Rockies?
Yeah, it just feels like there's no rhyme or reason to the pickups they have. And that's kind of how it's always felt with the Rockies. Picking up Jerkson Profar helps fill a little bit of a void out in the outfield, but you already don't have much of a lineup here. You know, you piece together players like Chris Bryant last year. You got Blackman out there who's a good bat. I mean, it looks like they have him penciled in at DH here. I mean, you got Jonathan Daza, who's a great contact bat, just has no power upside playing in center. Yeah, I mean, I think it helps run out the outfield a little bit, but you still got a big hole in the back half of this lineup. I mean, you're looking at Profar leading off, Chris Bryant, Charlie Blackman, CJ Krohn, Ryan McMahon, Jonathan Daza, Mike Moustakas, Elias Diaz, and Ezequiel Tovar, which
Ezekiel Tovar is a rookie. He doesn't have much time in the league so far. So you don't know what you're going to get out of a young guy. You know, really after McMahon, the number five hole, I don't see a lot of potential for this lineup.
Yeah, Fangraphs has Chris Bryant playing in right. I don't quite know if that's going to be the case. Maybe with Blackman DHing, like you said, I would probably DH Bryant personally just to keep him healthy because he's the big investment on this team. They need him to be in that lineup almost every day if they can. Yeah, you're right about the lineup. I don't. CJ Krohn had a good season last year. He was an all-star, but it's kind of an okay lineup. But, you know, these guys will also have inflated numbers. They're playing in Coors. As we know, that's a hitter park, 100%. Looking at the starting rotation on Fangraphs, again, this is going to be partially because of Coors Field. But the only guy that is projected to have an under 5 ERA is Yermán Márquez. Kyle Freeland, Jose Urena, and Austin Gomber, and Connor Siebold fill out the rest of that projected rotation. Antonio Senzatella is hurt. He had knee surgery. I'm not sure when he's going to be back. But yeah, right now this team is, they're a bit banged up. Also, you look at their injury list. You got Brendan Rodgers, as we obviously mentioned. Sean Bouchard, who had a really good end of the season. And Randall Grichuk, who was a trade acquisition they had last year. Yeah, I mean, you can talk about the bullpen a little bit, I think. Obviously, Daniel Bard did not have a great night last night, but is there anything in this bullpen you think is worth mentioning?
Yeah, Daniel Bard really struggled. It just looked like he couldn't find the strike zone. I don't think that says anything about him much as a pitcher overall. I still think he's a great arm coming out of the back end of the bullpen. But outside of that, you're just looking at a couple projects. I mean, with Denelson Lamet, Brad Hand, Brent Suter, none of these guys really jump out at you. And to me, that's where you're going to struggle in the latter half of these games, especially when you're pitching at home in Coors.
Yeah, Bard, I think, you know, watching him a decent bit in the NL West, he can struggle with control at times, but he's usually not that bad. Though his contract is pretty big for someone who's 37, has his history. That was an interesting one. The Rockies are weird like that. They'll give big contracts out to players that they like. I remember reading something from a former employee of the Rockies who said they kind of just have their guys and those are their guys, and they think they can win with their guys. And clearly their guys have not worked out to this point. You know, trading away Nolan Arenado was one of the biggest oopsies of the last 5 years in terms of baseball moves. So moving to their win over under, it's at 65.5. What's your pick here?
Yeah, they finished fifth in the NL West last year, 68-94. 65, to me, it feels a little bit low for this Colorado Rocky team. I'm going to go the over, but this isn't based off of, you know, any moves they took this offseason. I think playing around the league, it's going to be a little bit better for them. I'm barely over in like 66, 67. 65 is a low round. I think they're going to be similar to where they were last year.
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I don't think anything that this team did really moved the needle from last year to this year. Profar is a nice addition, but as someone who watched pretty much all his games last year, he's not a high-impact player. He's going to bring some nice defense in left. But if he's their big offseason move, I think that speaks volumes to the kind of offseason they had. And the thing I think that's important to note is that everybody else in the NL West got better, and the Rockies did not. And so that's why I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you lose, you know, a player like Brendan Rodgers, who really turned out to have a great year last year. The outcome was what you'd want from a Rockies perspective. So I think Harold Castro's not shown to be in the lineup yet. He's projected to have a 290 average this year with four homers. He's another just all contact, no power guy, which, you know, maybe spotting him in the DH every once in a while helps kind of round out the lineup.
Yeah, I actually kind of like Harold Castro. I think he played he can play like anywhere on the infield pretty much, just not at a high defensive level, but he could help fill in that void at second base. But they're not going to be able to find a gold glove caliber second baseman, which Rodgers arguably was or wasn't. It's up to interpretation, but yeah, it's the Rockies, man.
Yeah, I think they're still going to end up at the bottom of the NL West this year.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, let's take it over to a team that we do expect a lot from, the Los Angeles Dodgers. This offseason, they added Noah Syndergaard, David Peralta, Miguel Rojas, J.P. Feierheisen, J.D. Martinez, Alex Reyes, Dylan Covey, and Bradley Zimmer. Noah Syndergaard's interesting. You know, he's been a really good pitcher in years past. He has high potential, and if there's anything about the Dodgers, they have the potential to really bring the best out of Syndergaard. So I'm curious to see how he plays out with them. Bringing in Miguel Rojas, he's not blowing you out of the water. It's not as much as you would think you want the Los Angeles Dodgers to add. But, I mean, they lost this year. They lost Trey Turner. They lost Justin Turner. They lost Tyler Anderson. Andrew Heaney, Joey Gallo, which they picked up at the trade deadline, Tommy Canley, Canley, Craig Kimball, Cody Bellinger, and Chris Martin. Being the Los Angeles Dodgers in the previous years, I expected more this offseason out of them. They lost a couple big pieces, and they didn't really add a Hollywood-type player, in my opinion.
No, they didn't. I don't think a single team lost more war than the Dodgers did. I'm not quite sure why they held back. Is it because they really want Ohtani next offseason? They're trying to save some money, maybe. I don't know. But I think one thing with them, though, is they have a lot of faith in the depth of their farm system. It's really remarkable how they're one of the best teams in baseball, have one of the best lineups in baseball, and yet they have a ton of guys who are in their farm system who are going to play this year at some point. So it's pretty remarkable, to be honest, that they're one of the best managed teams and organizations in baseball, and they're a juggernaut. Will they be a 111 win juggernaut? I don't think so. It's hard to replicate that, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, they have one of the best farm systems in all the league. Losing Gavin Lux to the torn ACL, that's a tough hit on them. You know, now you're depending on Miguel Rojas to come in and be their everyday shortstop. Do they make a move to try to find someone that fills in at shortstop this year? Or are they just going to try to run it out with what they have? I mean, they got Walker Buehler, Tony Gonsolin coming in. I mean, Walker Buehler, does he even make an appearance this year? He got Tommy John and looks like August of last year.
They're hopeful he can come back. They're hopeful he can come back by September, but it's unknown.
Yeah. And you got Tony Gonsolin, who looks like he'll be able to come back here pretty soon. He just, you know, suffered from a sprained ankle here in spring training. So the outlook of this team, and they got a lot of talent. They have potential. The coaching always produces. I also want to note that they brought in Jason Hayward to a non-roster invite. He's the guy that's been around the league for a long time, you know, since he was 20 years old. He's, you know, got 13 years of service time at 33 years old. Like, that guy knows how to come in and get it done. Is he a little bit past his prime, potentially? I don't know how much he adds to this team. Right now, they're projecting Trace Thompson to be their starting everyday center fielder. I mean, you obviously got Mookie Betts in right and David Peralta in left. Freddie Freeman, he's going to get it done over at first base. We know what he's about. Will Smith, Max Muncy, J.D. Martinez, Miguel Vargas. It doesn't jump out at you as much as past years from this team. What are your thoughts?
No, yeah, last year's lineup I think was definitely better. But, I mean, J.D. Martinez, probably they'll fix him and make him a star again. Jason Hayward has been hitting a couple tanks in spring training. I think they feel really good about where he's at. I think he'll probably make the roster. Chris Taylor also on the bench, but Chris Taylor can play some second base, some shortstop, some center field, some left field, like wherever they need him to, he can fill that gap. So, look, I mean, this is still one of the best lineups in baseball. I mean, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Will Smith that's as good of a 1-2-3 punch as there is. It's phenomenal. The question is it 111 wins phenomenal? And I think the answer is a pretty easy no. It's just, where is their ceiling this year? And their rotation is it still looks pretty good. You got Clayton Kershaw, the legend. You got Julio Urias, who's in a walk year. This is his final year under team control. Noah Syndergaard on the one-year deal. Dustin May, they're kind of hopeful he can come back and be as nasty as he was. And then the projected Ryan Pepio, I think is how you say his name, to be their fifth starter. But they have plenty of depth. Tony Gonsolin will probably be in there somewhere as well. It's not super clear when he's going to return. And then they have other guys for depth at starting pitcher, including Michael Grove and Andre Jackson, Dylan Covey, Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone. Ton of young depth there for them to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning that they got, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players in the top 10 prospects of the organization that are at the AAA or MLB level, you know, with Bobby Miller, Miguel Vargas, Michael Bush, Gavin Stone, Ryan Pepio?
I think it's Pepio.
And James Outman. I mean, they got talent that can come up and produce if they need to. I think they have a lot more depth than other teams. I mean, to be a team that's been competing year after year and to still have that much depth in the farm system is pretty incredible, and it speaks to what they're able to do there. In the back of the bullpen with Evan Phillips and, you know, Alex Vesia, Bruce Star, Gratterall, looks like Blake Treinen's currently on the injury list. I don't know when he's expected to come back, but I'm not blown away by this team like I have been in years past, where it felt like they were the powerhouse.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, their bullpen is an interesting one because they have a lot of guys where they just, I mean, Evan Phillips was, they got him off of waivers in 2021, and he's probably their best relief pitcher. So I do not know what their bullpen will look like, but they got a lot of good arms that shut people down. I mean, this was the best bullpen in baseball last year. That's a fact. I don't think they're quite at that level here, but the Dodgers can get something out of their bullpen, that's for sure. Going to their over-under for wins real quick. It's at 95.5. What do you think of that?
Hey, I'm not sold on it. And obviously, this came out before they lost Gavin Lux, and a couple of these other issues came up. Looking at their starting rotation, you know, the innings pitch projected, it's not high. And given the bullpen, I'm not sold on it. I'm going under. I don't think this is the similar Los Angeles Dodgers team that we've seen in years past. I think they're probably sitting around a 90, 91 win team.
It's not because I'm a Padre fan, but I'm also going to go with the under. But I think it's like 94, 95 wins. This is still the Los Angeles Dodgers, man. They've got a star-studded lineup. And I'm no Dodger lover, but they're still pretty good. And I think there's a handful of organizations in baseball where you're like, yeah, they can lose whatever and gain whatever. They're still going to be good. This is still a team that's won, how many is it? Like 9 out of the last 10 division titles? They're insane. And they're going to get guys. They're going to find some pitcher is going to have a great young season for them. You know, Tony Gonsolin. This is just what they do. So it's going to be a very fascinating divisional race for the title, but they'll be in the playoffs. I have zero doubt about that.
Yeah, interesting team. I think they're always out there to surprise us. So that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
Surprise us, but I'm sitting in the under.
Yeah. Next up, we have the San Francisco Giants. They won, we forget about this, they won, I believe it was 107 games in 2021. And then last year, they were right down the middle at 81-81. This team took a lot of big swings in free agency. They went after Aaron Judge, Arson Judge. They went after Correa. They signed Correa, but did not get him over the line in the end because of the knee. I think it's the ankle issues or the knee issues. Something with his leg. They were not happy about it. But they still added Mitch Haniger, Michael Conforto, who's been tearing up spring training, Sean Manaea, Ross Stripling, Taylor Rogers, who they'll now pair with his twin brother, Tyler Rogers, Luke Jackson. They got Roberto Perez and Sean Newcomb on non-roster invites. Their subtractions, the big one is Carlos Rodon. I mean, he was fantastic last year when healthy. And then they also lost longtime captain Brandon Belt. They lost Evan Longoria, Jarlin Garcia, and Tommy La Stella. Juby, what do you think of these Giants?
Yeah, they made some interesting additions. Obviously, they tried to go bigger, but they still landed, you know, Mitch Haniger had a good year last year for the Seahawks. Conforto, he's looking to have a bounce back. I don't think he's played a lot he hasn't really played in the past couple seasons.
He did not play last year at all.
Used to be a good player in the league. You had Sean Manea and Ross Stripling. I don't think that balances out and replaces what Carlos Rodon meant to this team. It's a tough division, and they didn't really do a lot to get much better. It felt like they got marginally better, you know, on the lineup side, but they were losing on the starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, you just run over their lineup real quick, and they have Lamont Wade leading off, which is interesting. Tyro Estrada, he's a good little baseball player. Jock Peterson, obviously, hits tanks. They have him starting in right field. I think that's interesting. Michael Conforto, Brandon Crawford. Brandon Crawford gets to stay at shortstop. David Villar at third base. Mike Yastrzemski in center. Joey Bart, and then Blake Sabol DHing. With a bench of Roberto Perez, JD Davis, Wilmer Flores, and Austin Slater, it's like when you look at that team. Also, I think Haniger must be hurt right now because he's not in there. He is. He has a strained oblique, supposedly. Well, you should be back in a little bit, but that's the question with Haniger, though, is his health. He's been consistently hurt over the last few years, but good when he's healthy. This lineup, though, it's not – there's some differences, but it's kind of the same lineup last year that was just kind of average, and they could hit for some power, but this was a right-down-the-middle team, 81-81. And like you said, I think they got marginally better, but not enough that I think they can, you know, compete with the Dodgers or Padres. But then again, we did say that in 2021, and they came out and they were excellent. So I guess we'll see.
And that's the hard fact to battle, is they came out in 2021 and surprised a lot of us. I'm not sold that they have that in them still to be able to do that again here in 2023. But you know, I'd like to be surprised. I'm jumping over to the starting rotation. They have a good rotation. I think it's good, not great. I think they got Logan Webb is considered their ace at this point. He's projected to pitch 195 innings, 3.55 ERA. Alex Cobb right behind him, Sean Manea, Ross Stripling, and Alex Wood. It's a starting rotation. Like I said, it feels like it's good, not great. It feels like some of these guys can go out on a day and dominate, and they might get hit up the next day. I think you're really looking to see if there's any consistency with this lineup. I think that's probably going to be what's the best thing for the San Francisco Giants, is if they're consistent.
Yeah, it looks like they're probably going to try to, you know, implement a six-man rotation, maybe with, you know, Anthony DeSclafani as well. Their bullpen, it's an okay bullpen. It was not great last year, but they've definitely made a couple additions. The big one was Taylor Rogers, who was really bad at one point for the San Diego Padres, went to the Brewers, was a little better. Camilo Duvall, he's got electric stuff. I think has the fastest recorded. Is it his cutter that's the fastest recorded in history, or is it his sinker? Do you remember?
I believe it's the cutter, and it has to. Yeah, the movement is insane too.
Yeah, I think it's like 102, or maybe I'm thinking of Emmanuel Clase. Let me look real quick. But Taylor Rogers is good. Tyler Rogers is still really solid. Scott Alexander, John Brebbia. It's a good bullpen. It's not a great bullpen, but they do have some nasty guys at the back end that can make you swing and miss. So I don't think it's anything to like write home about and get super excited about, but it's good. Like, that's their pitching in a nutshell, as it's been good over the last few seasons. So I don't think they're going to be terrible in that regard.
Camilo Duvall has been recorded at hitting 104.5 miles per hour in his fastball.
His cutter, it looks like, yeah. That's crazy. Well, he came out of nowhere. He's nasty. Whenever he comes in the game, I always get a little scared because he's tough to hit.
So yeah, I mean, they have some talent, and they're a team that could surprise us. But looking on paper, again, similar to the 2021 year and 2022, it's not a team that surprises you or jumps out at you a lot. So jumping over into their over-under at 81.5 games. That seems, they were at 81-81 last year. Do you think they're better? Do you think they're worse? Are they above 500 or are they below?
I think they're better. I would go like 82-83. They're projected right now to win 83 games. I think that's pretty accurate. I think they're better than the Diamondbacks simply because they have they're more experienced and more consistent. But they're not better than the Padres or Dodgers. But, you know, again, the Giants could surprise people. They're a good organization. They're well coached. think Gabe Kapler's a good manager. Not a great manager, but a good one. So I'll go over.
I agree. I think they sit around 82, 83. I think they're just, like I said, marginally better than last year. And the rotation, you know, filled out with two replacing one. I think the value of Rodon was more, but I think adding two pitchers, I think it's going to balance them out. I think they're going to sit around 83 wins. And so on to the last team in the NL, heading over and down to San Diego. This offseason was huge for them. I mean, they made a huge contract offer to Aaron Judge. Missed out on him. It came out of left field, though. Nobody was expecting that. And that's kind of when we realized the San Diego Padres meant business. After that, they went on to sign Xander Bogaerts, Nelson Cruz, Matt Carpenter, Michael Wacha, Adam Engel, Seth Lugo. They brought back Nick Martinez and Robert Cerez, Cole Hamels, and Rougned Odor got a non-roster invite to the spring training camp. They lost Josh Bell, who's, you know, after the trade deadline pickup, Sean Manaea, Brandon Drury, all three trade pickups last year. Mike Clevenger is no longer with the team. Will Myers, Pierce Johnson, and Jurickson Profar. I think they've gotten a lot better. I think this is, you know, obviously this is one of the biggest off seasons for any of the teams out there in the league this year. I know you're a huge fan of the Padres and you're high on them, but what are your thoughts? I want to hear kind of what your perspective is of this team and going into the 2023 season. Obviously, we're looking for Tatis to be back, and that's a big part of this lineup, and it was a part that was missed last year. There's some controversy over him, but how do you feel?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's you are essentially adding Xander Bogaerts and Fernando Tatis Jr., who two of the best hitters in the league, to your lineup that already included, you know, Manny Machado and Juan Soto. Soto has been, between spring training and the WBC, just hitting the crap out of the ball. He looks locked in. He was not quite locked in last year. You know, he had a tough season in terms of, oh, is he going to stay in Washington? Well, doesn't look like it. Hey, have fun in San Diego, buddy. Manny Machado signed a big extension. He's going to be with the Padres until he retires. Jake Cronenworth moving over to first base. I think he needs to be a little better than he was last year, but Jake's still a really solid player. Nelson Cruz at DH. Matt Carpenter, he's projected in right field to start the season, but obviously once Tatis comes back, that won't be the case. He has not played any outfield innings in spring training for the team. Ha-Seong Kim moved to second, and then Trent Grisham in center. Won a gold glove last year, and Austin Nola catcher. I mean, our biggest issue last year was the lineup. It was not consistent for the whole season, and we had to be carried by Manny Machado last year. This lineup is now one of the best in baseball, with probably the best top four in baseball when Tatis is on the team. So it looks phenomenal. I think every Padre fan has dreamed of this day when they're at the top and they can actually compete for a World Series, and it seems like that's going to be the case this year.
Yeah, I mean, this was a team last year that was competing in the NLCS, and they lost a couple players, but those weren't the players that were carrying them through the postseason. So, with the big additions that they have with, you know, Bogaerts, who's arguably one of the best hitters in the game today, hits for average, and he also has a little bit of pop in there. Juan Soto, I'm looking for him to have a bounce back year. I think he's settled into San Diego now. I think the transition from Washington over to San Diego took him a little bit of time to get used to, but I think he's going to have a big year this year. Machado, he's been doing it for 10 years now. He brought into the league when he was 20 years old. He's going to get it done for them. It's hard to bet against this line.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think about the pitching, though, the rotation and the bullpen? I wouldn't say that people think that that's a weakness for the team. The bullpen is obviously good, but the back end of the rotation has definitely been a question mark for this team.
I think looking at the offseason moves, they made some big ones in the lineup. I was expecting a little bit more I was expecting them to get another starting pitcher and round it out. You got Yu Darvish, who's nasty. He's got a bajillion pitches. He's going to throw the kitchen sink at you. Blake Snell's been proven to do it. Michael Wacha, he had a good year last year for Boston. I'm expecting him to put up similar numbers. And Nick Martinez and Seth Lugo are going to get a run to, you know, the real deal for the starting pitcher this year. Looks like Joe Musgrove has fractured his toe. Do you know the exact timeline on when they're expecting him back?
Surprisingly, he's throwing bullpen right now. They're expecting that he might just miss one go in the rotation. He's probably back first week of April, so he's not going to lose a lot of time. Really remarkable how quickly he's come back. Our plan at this point is probably to implement a six-man rotation to try to protect these guys as much as possible. I think Walker probably won't have the season he did last year in Boston, but was still a really good signing, really cheap signing, all things considered. So we'll see. I mean, the back end, you're leaning on Nick Martinez and Seth Lugo to figure it out. And that, we'll have to see. We'll definitely have to see.
Yeah, so I look for this team to compete. They're my favorite to win the NL West. I like them. I think they got pretty well rounded out. Hoping that no injuries come, you know, that would hurt the starting rotation. There's not a ton of depth there, and they've already kind of taken a little bit of a hit. Joe Musgrove coming back is going to be huge. So if he comes back and that toe doesn't bother him, that's kind of my question mark in that starting rotation. But if he comes back and he's any bit of the player he was last year, I think this is a top-tier team.
I would agree. I mean, of course I wasn't a Padre fan, but also the back end of this bullpen with Robert Suarez and Josh Hader, Luis Garcia, Nabil Chrismat, man, it's a good bullpen too. I think it's probably a top 3, top 4 bullpen in baseball.
Yeah, so that takes me into their over-under here. Last year, they're 89-73. They're projected, or Vegas has them at 93.5 wins. What do you think? Are you over or are you under this team?
I think 93 is like the perfect number. 92, 91. I mean, it's going to be a race to the finish line with the Dodgers. That's really going to decide, like, you know, if you beat the Dodgers in the season series, you're probably going to win the division. But I think this is a playoff team regardless. It's just a matter of whether you play in the wild card or not. I'm going to go under, but just barely. I think it's like 93, 92. So I think the thing with them is like, yeah, they got better, but I think the balanced schedule will kind of, you know, eliminate some things. They got to play the Yankees. You know, they got to play the Astros. Like, you know, it's. I think this team could lose a couple of those games that they're not supposed to other good teams. But I think they'll be really good this year. I'm really excited to see what this team looks like.
Yeah, I think they best the Los Angeles Dodgers this year. I'm going to go over. I think they're sitting at 94, 95. I think a full year of Soto and, you know, the small additions even of Cruz and Carpenter. I think if Carpenter runs back what he did in the first half last year, I think this team is the over. And that's where I sit with them. I think they're a good team. I think they're going to win the NL West this year.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Diamond Dingers podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. If you want, you can follow us on Twitter @DiamondDingers_. We'll post links to all our episodes there and our thoughts on baseball in general. Like I said, we appreciate you guys listening. Catch you next time.